Today's daf is Nun Aleph. We're going to start at Nun Amud Bet. I'm actually just going to review the very end that we did yesterday. About 12 lines from the bottom. It's just good chazara and quite simple and straightforward. And the bright is going to lead into something we're going to deal with today. So Amar Rabbi Hilchata, Pachom Mishtu Nikneh Mekach. Okay, so Rabbi says the halacha is, even though there's been a bunch of things left open, he says, if it's less than Hona'ah, then Nikneh Mekach. Then the sale is a good sale. There's mechila. The assumption is there's mechila immediately, which was one of the questions that we raised. Is there mechila immediately? Can you even pachot mishtut have a, you know, come back and say within a certain time frame? No, he says it's nikneh immediately. Yoter al shtut, more than ona'ah, bitul mekach. Remember, these were two things that weren't mentioned in the Mishnah, so there was a whole debate about them. So then, if it's more than a sixth, then the mekach is canceled. Stood at exactly a sixth, kana umachzir ona'a. Then, even though we talked about that our Mishnah, it's really the next Mishnah, which combines with our Mishnah, where it says it explicitly, we're going to see it today, that he has both options. The Mishnah says you can either return the whole deal, or you can get your ona'a back. You know, the deal will be kayam, and you get your ona'a back. But Rava says against our Mishnah that the halacha is that it's kone, you just have to return the extra 1/6 whoever has to return it, depending on which side. Vizeh vizeh, both those things, which means the mecha, the yoter al shtut and the shtut, is within a certain time frame. Bechdei shir ela tagaro lekrovo. If you remember, there was a whole debate yesterday about yoter mishtut, bitul mekach, is it forever? Or is it also just within this time that he could show a friend or another, it doesn't say friend, it's a relative or a merchant, and the guy could tell him, what, you paid that price? Then he could go back and complain and resolve the issue. But past that time, he's not allowed to. Tanya kavatei de Rava, so now we get a braita that proves Rava, because how could Rava seem to go, at least in one area, against our Mishnah? So now they're going to say there's a machloket tana'im, and one of the de'ot tana'im matches Rava, and the other one is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which kind of makes sense because he put together the Mishnah that he put in his. Now it should be pointed out that he doesn't always go with his own shita. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he put together the Mishnah, it's not always his own approach he goes with, but there's literature written about it. But anyway, it makes sense that he took his own opinion, which is going to match our Mishnah. So, Tani Kavatei Derava, Ona'a pachot mishtut nikneh mekach. Yeter al shtut batel mekach, shtut kanao machzir ona'a divrei Rabbi Natan. That's what we just read. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, Yad mocher ala elyona. Okay, remember this because we're going to get back to this. The mocher's yad is ala elyona. If you remember before, we quoted Yad HaMitaneh, or Mishu Tal Alav Yado Al Elyona. We're going to see that later, that whoever was defrauded, Yado Al Elyona. But here it says the Mocher's Yad is Al Elyona, which we'll discuss later. Really, the simple meaning is that they're just giving the example of the Mocher, but what it really means is whoever was defrauded. So Yad Mocher Al Elyona, meaning, and what's his point, that Yad Mocher Al Elyona, that in a case where there's Ona, you have a choice. Right? Rotze omer lo ten li mikhi, o ten li masha onitani. Okay, so in other words, not like Rabbi Natan, who said, if there's ona'a, the mekach is kayam, you just get back your extra. Here it says, no, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, he can choose whichever one he wants, either to cancel the mekach at ona'a, or to get his money back. V'ze v'ze v'chdei shir ele tagaro l'krovo. Okay, now we're getting to today's stuff. Ad matai mutar l'hachzir. Right, so then the Mishnah said, "Amatay mutar lachzir," right? And that was ad kadesh yira the tagar or the korvo. So now we're going to talk about this. Amar Rav Nachman lo shanu ela lokeh. We mentioned this yesterday. I said today we get to it. Really, this is only talking about you have this time frame to go show another merchant or your friend. That's only relating to the lokeh, the buyer. Aval mocher leolam chozer. Maybe we should say that this source proves it. Chazru l'divrei chachamim. When our Mishnah says that they went back to divrei chachamim, why would that prove that we're only talking about the lokeach has a time frame? Because again, right, this is the whole thing we did yesterday. We're trying to derive from the story of the merchants first wanting to do what Rabbi Tarfon said and then saying, oh, thanks, but no thanks. What were they thinking and what did they conclude in the end? So in the end, they said, you know what, Rabbi Tarfon, well, you know, you said, kol ayom, and that's not good for us. Iyamar bishlama mocher la'olam chozer mishum hachi chazru. If you say that the mocher can always go back, has forever, then it makes sense that they were chozer b'hem. Ela iyamar mocher, you'll understand better why when you see the opposite, right? It's going to be process of elimination. If you say that the mocher nami kilokech tami, mine after luhuminu. In other words, if Rabbi Tarfon said you have the buyer has all day to return, and not only now if it goes for both that there's a time frame also for the seller, then they're basically saying, well, the buyer has all day, but also the seller has all day. So why would they have changed their minds? It actually gives them an advantage that if they want to be chozer b'hem, they can also be chozer b'hem all day. So you follow? If it's going to be the same for the lokech and the for both the buyer and the seller, then why would they have rejected Rabbi Tarfon's halacha? They would say, oh, you know what? They get all day, which is not great for us, but we also get all day. So it works to our advantage also. So it doesn't make so much sense that they would have canceled. Okay, soon we're going to get into why bichlal, you know, what's the logic? Maybe we should do it now. Okay, why does the mocher have la'olam chozer? The assumption is that the object is not in his hands. That's clear. He sold it. Because he sold it, he has to, so they're going to say, we'll see it inside later, that he doesn't have anybody to show the item to say, oh, I sold this item. So he needs time, right? Until he finds an item that's like his item being sold for a different price and then says, oh my God, I can't believe I sold that for so much less than the market value. It could be a very long time till he finds some item that's just like the one that he sold. If you have the item in hand, then it's easy. You could take it to an evaluator. You know, people know the price. So the lokach has the item in his hand and therefore easy for him to show it around, and therefore he has a certain time frame. But the seller, since he doesn't, that's not, you know, we let him have forever. Right? Forever is a long time, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little hard to imagine that 3 years, 4 years down the road, he can come back and say, hey, I want my item back. But that's the logic. Okay, we'll see it again inside in a little while, but I wanted to already tell you. So now what did they do? Rav Nachman comes and says, this is only the lokach, not the mocher. The mocher doesn't have any time frame. That's the wrong Gemara. That's from Sukkah yesterday.
Yes. I looked at those.
Yes. So Rav Nachman says, only the lokach has a time frame, but the mocher can be mocher la'olam. They proved it from our Mishnah, because Chazru, what did they say? Now, we're going to basically reject this logic. The fact that the Tagarim said, oh, thanks, but no thanks, when they said all of a sudden the buyer can be chozer bo kol ayom, they said, no. We're much better off with Chachamim, who only give them a small time frame, even if the percentage is going to be lower. But, because why? In the end, they say, but if they also have all day, then that would be helpful to them. Now they're going to say, no. Tagare lod lo shachiach de ta'u. You can't say that because they generally didn't make a mistake in the price. In other words, they cared more about the buyer being chozer b'hem than the seller, okay, than themselves. They weren't concerned that they were going to undersell their produce and have to, you know, or their products and have to go back. These guys knew what they were doing. They were very, slick business people. And they clearly, what was their issue? They wanted to overcharge and they didn't want people to come back and return. But I was thinking about this. This reminds me of all these laws about returning. I actually saw a thing on the news once, a whole clip about the laws of returning and that you're allowed to return items within 2 days and get your money back by Israeli law. And they did a whole thing where they went around from store to store and they showed it and they bought something and they went to return it and the storekeeper said, you know, by law you can't return it. And they said, what are you talking about? By law we can't return, you know. And there's all these things that buyers try to, you know, nobody wants anyone to be chozer b'hem, you know. And it's the same thing. You have 2 days, you know, you have, it's the same idea here. Okay. Ushbezichne derami barchama zavin chamer. Now we're going to have a few situations. So a guy that was staying in Rabbi Bar Chama's house, he sold wine, vita'a, and he found out later that he made a mistake. Eshkache dehava atziv. Rami Bar Chama saw that he was very sad. Amar le, amai atzivat, why are you upset? Amar le, zvini chamer v'tai. Okay, I sold wine and I made a mistake. Amar le, zil hadarbach. He says, so go choser bo, you know, you can go back on it. Amar le, ha shahai li yoter mechdesh ar ele tagaro lekrovai. I waited too long, and now I can't do it. Shadri lekamedra Rav Nachman. Now they bring him before Rav Nachman. Amar le, lo shanu ele lokech, ava mocher la'olam choser. Okay, so now here's where Rav Nachman actually paskins this way in a particular case. And he says, oh, don't worry, you can be chozer la'olam. My time, here we can now see it inside. Lokeach mikcho biyado. The lokeach has the mekach in his hands, has the item that he bought. Kol hecha da'azim v'chavilei v'amrelei itai lota. Wherever he goes, he can show it to people and they can tell him whether he made a mistake or not. Mochir de'lo naka mikcho biyade. But the mochir who doesn't have it in his hands, zvinta kizvinte, until he finds the item that he sold that's like his item, right? Zvinte with the yud hay is his item. Zvinta is a sale item, right? Until he finds a sale item that's like his sale item. Viyada, and you know, and someone will know to tell. Viyada itai, viilota, right? And then it will take him time until he finds out whether he made a mistake or not. Okay, another case. Hahu gavra dehava nakev varshache lizvune. He had these silk strips that he wanted to sell, that he was selling. Kari shita v'shavya chamisha. He said, I'm selling them for six, but really they were worth five. V'i aviyave lechamsha upalga hava shakel. But he says, right, this is typical. He says, I'm selling them for six, but if you pay me five and a half, I'll take that price also. Atahu gavra v'amar. Some really smarty pants comes along and he says, hey, wait a minute. By the way, this proves Shmuel Shita, because the item was worth five. Okay, so let's do review. And he was selling it for six. And that's ona'ah. The ona'ah, remember, is not based on the market price, because that would be one-fifth. That would be bito mekach. The item is based on one-sixth even of the price he paid. So he's saying, you can pay me six, or you can pay me five and a half. Six would be ona'ah, right? Five and a half would be less than ona'ah. What would we say with less than ona'ah? What do we say? There's michila, right? If there's michila, what happens? You can't return it. So, and get your extra money back. So what does this guy say? He's very smart. He says, if you can figure it out yet, etein lecha shita, I'll pay him the higher price, and then I'll take him to court and I'll get my 1/6 back and I'll pay five for the item. Okay, right, good. Atal kamei de Rava, let's see if it works. Okay, he goes before Rava. Amar le, Rava says to him, sorry, but it's not going to work. Right, and this is too late already. He already paid six. Lo shanu, and here is a huge, huge chidush that changes everything we've learned. Lo shanu ela belokech mina tagar. He says the whole halacha of ona'ah does not apply to a balabayit. You were buying from a balabayit. Okay, right? This guy was just a guest of Rami Bar Chama. He had some wine. He sold it. And then he realizes he sold it for... Oh, no, sorry. I got confused. You're right. Sorry. This is some guy who's just selling these mesh, these silk strips. Okay? And he, the assumption is he was a balabayit. And what does Rava say? Laws don't apply to him. Okay, we'll see it inside soon, but I'll tell you already. What's the reason the laws don't apply to a balabayit? Because a balabayit, when you go sell something that you own in your house, right? Let's say you do a garage sale. Okay, now garage sales usually sell things for cheap because who's going to buy them? But let's say you have something expensive that even if it's not so expensive, it's meaningful to you. You're not willing to sell it unless it's a worthwhile price. You're not in the business of selling things, right? You don't need to sell. So you're only going to sell if you can really get a high price for it, because it has some sentimental value too. So therefore, balabayit, the assumption is if he's selling it for a very high price, it's he's only willing to sell for that high price, and therefore there's no ona'ah at all. So when this guy says, I'm selling my item for six, I'll be willing to take five and a half, but no less than that, basically you can't claim ona'ah on that. And the only laws of ona'ah apply by a regular socher. Okay, that's the assumption right now.
But that argument opens up the whole argument that if anything has any kind of added value, so you're talking about something that has an emotion, you have an emotional connection to. But what about if you have different types of olives? Let's say there's more better quality and poor quality, and they're still grouped that they're all green olives.
But they're not. No, green olives. There's green olives of this quality. There's green olives of that quality. Then it would go by the quality of those olives. You can definitely make differentiations there. But this has nothing to do with the value of the item. This is the value of an item that you could buy in a store for less money. But if you're going to buy it from the Balabaya and the Balabaya tells you, I'm only willing to sell for this price, then and you decide to pay that price. Now, here's the interesting debate,
this is
okay?
It's hard for a modern mind to get used to such regulations.
Yeah. Well, you could look at it, I think, in also a different way. Okay, let me tell you a machloket rishonim about this, and then I'll tell you a different perspective. One way I have of looking at it. So the Rishonim debate about whether we're talking here only about ona'ah at 1/6, but what if you're a balabayit who sells an item worth 5 and you sell it for 7? What would they say then? Would Rava say then that it only applies to a tagar and not a balabayit and that guy can't claim ona'ah? So some of the Rishonim say, yeah. There's no ona'ah at all. The guy could charge you 20 times the price. If you paid it, you paid it. There's nothing to be done. Other Rishonim say no. He's only talking about ona'ah specifically. Above ona'ah, already you can cancel it and say, hey, I never meant to buy. I didn't realize it was that high over the market price. So, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. Now, if you really neutralize din ona'ah bichlal, or even if you say that ona'ah itself, and then that's different from, you know, way, way, way overcharging, okay? But I think that the way they look at these halachah, lo tonu, is really it was guided toward a business, a store. It didn't relate. It just doesn't relate to the realm of private, you know, individuals selling things. It was all about controlling the markets, the stores, so people don't get taken advantage of in a store. If you do things between people, that's not. First of all, you could say also it's not shachiach. Like again, we usually use gzera derabanan in terms of lo shachiach. But even the Torah, you could say it was talking about the broad, not the. You know, not the sales that go on the side. So we'll see that they're going to make a bit of a distinction about what the guy's selling. That maybe there's a balabayit who's selling one thing that is ona'ah and other things might not be ona'ah.
Does it matter if you know it's ona'ah and you intend and you knowingly?
So we're going to talk about that. We're going
to
get to that.
To realize that it was ona'ah and he was trying to outsmart the
right. He was willing to buy it anyway. Maybe you'd say there's mechila there, although he wasn't really mochel because he was planning to get it back.
Right.
But we'll see. We're going to get to that case today also. Okay, so now we have now we have another story. Not only Rav Paskin like this, but also Rav Chista. Hahu gavar davanaki kifi lizvune. He took jewelry to sell. Karishitin v'shavi chamishim. Okay, he said, I'll sell them for 60, but they're really worth 50. V'yav lele chamishim b'chamsha, have a shakel. And if you give me 55, though, I'll take it. Notice how b'mikre, all these cases are very easy, round numbers, right? I'm sure it was written this way for sake of understanding it more easily. Atahu gavra v'amr. Ihiv nala chamishim b'chamsha, have ya mechila. Etenle, so again, the guy said, right, if I give him 55, it'll be mechila. But etenle shitin v'et be'ledin. I'll give him 60 and I'll take him to court. Okay, they got approval. Rav Dimi said, oh, good that they did this, and Rabbi Elazar also agreed with this. Now, wait a minute. We learn in a Mishnah, which is going to be in another minute. We're going to see this Mishnah inside. The Mishnah says, Kishem sha'ona'a lehedyot, kach ona'a letagar. Just like there's ona'ah for a hedyot, likewise there's ona'ah for a merchant. So man hedyot, what do you think a hedyot is? La balabayit? In which case, it's saying, there's also, the Mishnah says explicitly, there's ona'ah for a hedyot for a balabayit. So how could Rav and Rav Chista possibly say that there's no ona'ah for a hedyot? So, or a balabayit. Amar Rav Chista, bitzadriyata. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce this. Bitzadriyata, I think it's pronounced. Avamane tashmishte diyakire ale lo mezaben lehu. Ila bedame yateri. Rav Chista is going to say there's tzadriyata or there's mane tashmishte. Mane tashmishte are like his nice clothes that he like, you know, his expensive things. Tzadriyata, I would call this like a t-shirt, okay? If a balabayit sells you a t-shirt, which basically is an item that goes in the shuk that not only, okay, it's hard for the artist to really understand this, but there's items that are items that a balabayit wouldn't really sell, and there's items that a balabayit would basically sell also. Okay? So Rashi says it's bigdei kambus ha'umdim limacher. There are more simple stuff that basically Balei Bayit also sell these things. So if they're things that Balei Bayit often sell and they're not so expensive, then we're going to have regular dinei ona'ah. And then we're going to say, just like we have by the hedyot, we're also going to have by the tagar. But if we say mani tashmishte, his own stuff that's not omei limacher, but his own stuff that belongs to him, and they're yakar to him, they're valuable to him, therefore we can assume that if you're not going to pay him a high price, then right, he's not willing to sell them, in which case you can't claim dino na'ah because you knew that he was selling them for a high price, and despite that, you were willing to pay the price anyway, and therefore there must have been mechila. Now, by the way, keep this in mind, because clearly this whole reasoning sides on the side that when you say a Balei Bayit doesn't have ona'ah, what do you really mean? But you mean that the lokeh can't claim ona'ah. But what would you say? Can the Balei Bayit, if he sells something for too low a price, can he claim ona'ah? Based on this logic, it sounds like yes. Okay, but keep that in mind, because it's not going to be so clear cut. Okay, new Mishnah. Echad halokeh ve'echad hamocher yesh lehen ona'ah. Okay, both sides can claim ona'ah. Kishem shona'ah lehedyot, kach ona'ah letagar. I told you we got to this in a minute, right? Just like you have ona'ah by a hedyot, also you have ona'ah by a tagar. Rabbi Yehuda omer ein ona'ah letagar. Okay, now this is very confusing in light of what we just said, right? Because we just said ein ona'ah le'Balei Bayit. In general, this line is confusing, even the kishem sheyesh ona'ah lehedyot, because what do you mean? It should be kishem sheyesh ona'ah for a business. There's also for a hedyot when he's selling like a business. So the whole order is weird. And then the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says ein ona'ah le'tagar is weird. We're going to have to understand in the Gemara. They're going to try to figure out what is he talking about. And then we're going to have this line, Mishahu tala lav yado ala el yonah. Whoever is the one who got defrauded, his yad is ala el yonah, right? Which is differentiated from, if you remember, what did I tell you? We read Rabbi Yehuda Nasi today. That he says yad mocher ala el yonah, which we assumed meant really whoever was defrauded, but he put it all in the terminology of yad mocher. We'll get to this later also. Here it says anyone. But notice now when he starts talking about what the case is of ona'ah, what does it say? Who's he talking to? Think about who the subject is. Ratza omer lo ten li ma'otai, o ten li masha ani tani. Who's talking here? The lokeh, right? Give me my money back, if he wants to say, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who put it in the terms of the seller, right? Give me my item back, ten li mikhi. The Mishnah terms it in ten li ma'otai. Okay, so we're going to also talk about this. First of all, if it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi who puts together the Mishnah, he's putting it the Shitato, why in the Braita would he have said, in the eyes of the Mocher, give me back my item, and in the Mishnah, in the eyes of the buyer, give me back my money. Okay, first of all, we're going to have Menane Mile. How do you know that it's both the Lokech and the Mocher? So we're going to quote a Braita to prove this. Ditanu Rabbanan. V'chitin kerum em karla mitecha, al tonu, v'chule. Okay, so let me read you the whole Pasuk. It says, V'chitim kerumim karla mitecha, o kano miyana mitecha. So either you sell or you buy. That's going to be clear, then that's how they're learning it. Al tonu ishet achiv. Okay, you can't do ona'ah. Okay, so here they're going to say, it says, Hitim keru, ein li ela shenitane lokeh, nitane mocher minayin. How do you know also if the seller gets defrauded? Talmud lamar, o kano. Right, so it says them both, al tonu. So it says them both, and therefore they're both there. Obviously the question is going to be, why do you need both of them? V'itzrich l'michtav lokeach, v'itzrich l'michtav mocher. You have to write both. Why? De'i katav rachmana mocher. If the Torah had just written the mocher, mishum dekim lebizvinte. The mocher, kim, one second. Right. Kim lebizvinte means he knows his stuff. Right? Aval lokeach de'lo kim lebizvinte, eima lo ezhere rachmana below tonu. In other words, the mocher is the one who knows he's defrauding someone. So obviously you're going to, right, the basic, if you would think of ona'ah, who's going to be the main one who's going to be defrauding the other? The seller. So therefore, the Torah has to tell him. V'i katav rachmana lokeach. So what if they just said the lokeach and you would have known, obviously, this also applies to the mocher. What might you have said? Mishum dekakane. He actually bought the item. And people on the street say, Amri Inish, what do people say? Zavanta kanita. If you buy something, you acquired something. In other words, money is only good in the fact that it can buy something. But it's not good to have money. Like the seller is just getting money. Okay, aval mocher di ibude kamovid, damra inche zavin ovid. If you sold something, you lost out because now you just have money and money is just going to be spent and you're not going to even have it anymore, right? How many times do you get all this, you know, you get all of a sudden, I don't know, let's just say a tax refund or something and, you know, it goes to like 10 million things, like, oh, I'll buy this, I'll buy that, right? And then in a second, it's gone. You've already like spent it 10 times over. So money is not as useful, okay? And as you'd rather, you have the item, you actually have something. So the lokech ends up with the item. So you might think, ah, Dafka the lokech yadol la el yonah kind of thing, and he's in a position of strength, and therefore the Torah is going to tell him make sure not to defraud the other person. But the mocher who kind of lost out by this deal because he just ends up with money, which is going to end up disappearing, ema lo es harei rachmana. Maybe the Torah didn't warn him below tonu, and therefore tzricha. Okay, this argument is a little. There's a major problem with this argument, which is. A seller always wants money. Like, that's what they want money to be able to buy more merchandise. It doesn't, it's not the greatest logic. Okay. Maybe we're not understanding it properly, right? Maybe there's something more to it, but it's, you have to remember also, if the logic in something like this isn't so great, it's not the biggest deal because they're just trying to suggest why the Torah have to mention one or the other. You know, you could really just say it was just telling you the whole law, both the mocher and the lokech. It's not the biggest question that needed such a great answer. So the fact the answer is a little bit of a kvetch shouldn't bother us too much. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein ona ala tagar. So now we try to understand what is this. We're going to have two interpretations. My taima, I skipped a line. Mishum shehu tagar, ein lo ona'a. Because he's a tagar, he doesn't have ona'a. That's a question. Mishum shu tagar ein lo ona'a, because he's a merchant, there's no laws of ona'a, what could that possibly be talking about? I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav, b'tagar safsar shanu. It's not talking about any merchant, it's talking about the safsar. We saw him before, what is he a guy? He buys and he sells. We had a case of a safsar with a donkey. He bought the donkey, he bought a shore who didn't have teeth. And then he sold it. And then the guy, remember the ro'eh, ended up watching it and didn't pay attention that the animal wasn't eating. And the whole question was who is responsible. And the tagar said, the safsar said, well, it wasn't my fault. I didn't notice. Or then one of the opinions said, no, that's your job. You're a middleman. You're supposed to. And this goes in that way. The middleman is supposed to be on top of everything. He's supposed to know everything. He's supposed to know the market price. He's supposed to know, check out the merchandise. So anyway, what do we say here? The same logic as that side of the argument there, which is Meida yades vinte kamashavya. He knows the prices. He's the bucky. He's the guy who knows the most. Vachule achil gabe. Okay, and therefore he must have been mochel. If he was willing to pay this high price, he can't claim ona'a because he must have been mochel. Vahai dezab nahachi. In other words, so then if he paid such a high price for something, why can't he claim ona'an? Why did he buy it in the first place? Mishum de itramele zvinte achrite. In other words, he needed the cash. Here we're talking about where he sold it. It's the opposite. He sold it for a cheap price. Why did he sell it for such a cheap price? And now he wants to claim, oh, it was ona'an. I want my extra money back. Because some other better deal came before him. He needed the money. He went to, sold this for a low price. But now he wants to be chozer bo. Okay? This is like a good case of how the Gemara has no punctuation. So some people say no, some people read this as, we just read it as, we're trying to explain what the situation was. Why is he all of a sudden chozer bo if he was willing to sell it earlier? So, oh no, he's willing to sell it earlier because he wanted the money, but now he wants to claim back. Now he realizes, oh, what a mistake I made. I can't believe I sold it for so little, and he wants to get his money back. Some people say, no. This reads like this. In other words, he wanted the money, so he sold it for less, and therefore he's mochel. And then the Gemara questions this sheet and says, v'hashta mia kahadar bay? It doesn't make any sense, this case. Then what? Now all of a sudden he wanted to be chozer bo? No, if he wanted to sell it for cheap, well, then he was happy to sell it for cheap because he wanted the money for a better deal. So why on earth would he be chozer bo now? And then it's a rejection of Rav Nachman's shitas. Anyway, it's just interesting that some commentaries could read the same thing as a question or as a statement. So now we have a second answer. Rav Ashi Amar. So either we have a second answer because that one was difficult, or just stone, we have a second answer because often we have second answers. My ein letagar ona'a. Eino b'torat ona'a. Now, he doesn't say it's talking about a safsar. He says it's talking about a regular merchant. What does it mean? Eino b'torat ona'a. Sha'afilu pachot michdei ona'a chozer. What does he say? When it comes to a merchant, he can even, since his whole business is based on making money, okay, his money, and more so, it's for his livelihood. He needs the money for his livelihood. So therefore, even less than kedei hona'ah, if he ended up selling something for less than the market value, he can be chozer. Okay, that the laws of hona'ah that protect the buyer in this case, right, that the seller can never renege, and you know, if the buyer bought it for a cheap price, he's okay. No, he can be, right, the percentages don't even apply to him. If he sold something for any less than the market value, he can get his money back. And that's because he needs it for his livelihood. Tanya kavatei de Rav Nachman. Here's a braita that supports Rav Nachman's shita. Rabbi Yehuda omer, tagar ein lo ona'ah mipnei shehu baki. Okay, so in other words, right, the first opinion says he's a safsar, and because of that he's baki, and that's why he can't claim, oh, I underpaid, because if he did underpay, it was his own doing. He knew it, and he was mochel. Because no guy would, no safsar, would not know the market value. And the other opinion says, no, it has nothing to do with him being baki, it has to do with this is how he makes his money. This is his livelihood. And this is interesting because this is all about, you know, when people, we all know that sellers overcharge. It's just what they do, right? So, and this is saying that, right, that's how they make their money. Right? So, therefore, this is also, what's the term I was looking for? When people sell, sometimes the profit margins are very small. Like in certain businesses, the profit margins are very large, and in certain businesses, they're very small. I know if you go to a travel agent, I know they always say, "Oh, the amount of money I'm making on this, you know, thing is so little." Is so therefore, what they're saying is, since their profit margins are so small, even the littlest bit you have to give them. Okay, and that's really the approach here of Rav Ashi, which is interesting. Okay. Mishahu tala lav yadola elyona. So now we're getting to this line. Mishahu tala lav yadola elyona. Mani matnitin lo Rabbi Natan velo Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. This doesn't match not Rabbi Natan shita and not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi shita. Why? This goes back to something I kind of referenced earlier. I Rabbi Natan matnitin katane ratza. Ubraita lo katane ratza. Remember, what did Rabbi Natan say? If you want, you can cancel the sale. If you want, you can get your extra money back. And that's certainly not what it says here. It says, right, what does it say? Mishu talav yadol, I'm sorry. The Mishnah, my confusion. The Mishnah says, Ratzah omer, ten li ma'utai, ten li ma'asho nitani, you can choose. Rabbi Natan said, you can't choose. Remember, he said, at ona'ah, you just get your money back, but you get your extra money back, but the mekach is kayam. I Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, matnitin katane lokeach, braita katane mocher. Remember, if it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, remember there Rabbi Yehuda Nasi used the lashon of the mocher. And here the Mishnah uses the lashon of the lokeach. So we're going to have a few different answers here. First answer is, Amar Rabbi Elazar, ona'a zo eini yoda mishna'a. I don't know who this Mishnah was written according to. Because you're right, it wasn't according to either one. And it must be some other Tana that we don't even know has a different shita here. Rabba Amar la'olam Rabbi Natan hi. V'tani nami braita ratza. This is crazy. He says, really, it's Rabbi Natan. And with Rabbi Natan, you think Rabbi Natan said what he said? No, he didn't say that. He actually said, okay, now I want to read you the words to see that you really can't read this into him. He says, shtut kana u'machzir ona'ah. So he's going to say, instead of saying shtut kana u'machzir ona'ah, Rabbi Natan says, Ratza, yachzir lo ma'od. Ratza, you know, yachzir lo ma'ashonitani. Okay, so you'd have to say that. Rabba Amar, which would basically mean that we have the incorrect Masoret of Rabbi Natan. Rabba Amar, and this is the way I read the Mishnah, which is, La'olam Rabbi Yehuda Nasihi, umay deshir b'matnitin, kamafarish b'braita. In other words, one viewed it through the lokeach and one viewed it through the mocher. And this is a good example of where you say, sometimes you don't need to spell everything out. Okay? It's to say, you know, how would you have said it? Let's read Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in the other one. What does he say? Yab mocher ala el yona. Or let's read our Mishnah where he doesn't say yab mocher. In our Mishnah, he says, mishehu tal alav yado ala el yona, which means either direction, right? So what would he have said? Ratza omer lo ten li ma'utai, o ten li ma'asheni tani. And then you'd have to say, ratza omer li ten li mikhi, o ten li ma'ashe I'm trying to look at the Sha'anitani. Okay, so you'd have to say, right? You have to say it in both directions, and it's just unnecessary. So in one, he said it one way, and the other, he said it another way, and that way he covered all his bases, and he made it clear to people that he meant both. Obviously, he didn't make it clear enough to people because it wasn't so clear to everybody else. But that's what they said. And now, right, so whatever he left over in the Mishnah, he didn't say in the Mishnah, he explained in the Braita, right? In the Mishnah, he talked about the Mocher and the Lokach, and the Braita, he talked about the Mocher. Amrav Ashi, Dekanami, Dekatani, we can also infer this from the words, Echad HaLokach VeEchad HaMocher. Notice our Mishnah, it starts off saying both the Lokach and the Mocher, so therefore it makes it very clear that even though our Mishnah is talking in the end in the Lashon of the Mocher, of the Lokach, it said in the beginning of it, Echad HaLokach VeEchad HaMocher, so it clearly goes in both directions. Umifarish le'lokach, right? And then the Mishnah says only for the lokach. Shma mina shiure shire le'mocher. Shma mina. It just left out the nusach lefi amocher, but it obviously meant to include it. Okay, here's the question you talked about Aviva before. Itmar. Now we're going to have a machloket about the following case. Ha'omer lechaveiro al menat she'ein lecha alai ona'a. What if you say, when you make the deal, you say, we're going to buy this, right? The guy says, I'll sell it to you, but you have to commit to me that you're not going to claim ona'a after. This is classic.
Consent.
Right, consent, okay? If you consent to something that's against the law, all right, let's take in business, right? I know, for example, like laws of amutot I'm familiar with. So if you tell your workers, we're going to do something that's actually against the law and your worker agrees to it, your worker can still go to labor court. I'm sure this is in all businesses also. Your worker could go to labor court and take it to court on it. Just because they signed that, it doesn't mean anything. If it's against the law, the condition is useless. So we're going to have a machlok. Rav Amar Yesh Lo Alav Ona'a. Okay, so Rav says, this is useless, basically. Okay, Rav says, there's still Ona'a. Okay? Shmuel disagrees, though. Shmuel Amar Ein Lo Alav Ona. Okay, Shmuel says the Tanai works, right? Tanai Kayam. Okay, Rav says Tanai Batel. And you can look at this as, what do we call this? Matne Al Masha Ketub B'Torah. You're basically making a Tanai against something it says in the Torah, which is like what I said about going against the law, and you're not allowed to do that. How does Shmuel say it's okay? So we'll see. Lema Rav da Amar Karabi Meir, Shmuel da Amar Karabi Yehuda. Maybe what they're really talking about is this other machloket that we've actually seen before, which is Ditanya. Ha'omer li sha'areh mekudeshet li almanat she'ein lecha alai sher ksut v'ona. Ha'rezo mekudeshet utna'o batel de Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir say? You betroth the woman and say, I'm betrothing you under the condition that I'm not going to give you the things that I have to commit to you from the Torah. She's married, but the t'nai is canceled. That's exactly Rav, right? The t'nai is batel because he's matnel mashkatu b'torah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, v'davar shebemamon t'nao kayam. If you're talking about dine mamono, you can cancel, you can go against mashkatu b'torah. Why? Because the woman can say, you're right that I know you owe me this from the Torah, but I'm going to be mochel on it. I don't need this stuff. Okay? I'm rich, I have enough money, I don't need your money, it's fine, I'll marry you anyway. You're poor, I'm rich, no problem. Okay? Or in this case, the guy could be saying, yeah, you're right, I don't mind paying you extra. I won't come claim against you. Amar l'charav, so first we think it's the exact machloket tana'im that they had there. Now we're going to try to suggest that maybe it's not exactly.
Not all the things that were not promised are monetary.
Ah, exactly. I was thinking about that. That, right. Ona is certainly not monetary, right? Ona is sexual relations. Like, how can he be mevater on that? Right. It's a good question. How it does it right now, they're really only relating to the dine mamono part, which is the share and the ksut, which is the clothing and the, you know, the food and the place to live. Yeah, I don't know how they relate to the ona one. It could be that what they really mean, right? Oh, right. There was a whole question there. We learned it. Right. So ona, so Rashi says, ona shitzara guf lo nitan lemechila. That's not. It really is relating to the share and the ksut. They kind of just went as a package deal, but okay, but he can't, right. He can't be mochel on the ona. There was the whole thing about it, because if you say you're betrothing someone and you won't have sex with them, that it's no good then. Like it's a kiddushin shelo nitznu lebi'ah. You know, you can't even have such a thing. I think there was a whole discussion when we brought it up then.
So not only is it shnai batel, right? Mekaches,
right? Or it just doesn't relate to that. And as we, well, anyway, Rabbi Meir says the shnai is batel. Rabbi Yehuda, I assume, would say it's batel. In a shnai is kayam just for the share in the ksut, but not for the ona. Okay. So now we're going to say, wait a minute. It doesn't necessarily have to be connected. Because Amar l'charav, ana da'amri afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda. I even agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Kiddushin. Why? Akalo kam Rabbi Yehuda ha'atam ela diyada v'kamachla. And when it comes to the Kiddushin, you're giving her a vada. You're saying, I will not give you exactly what I'm supposed to give you. And she was mochel anyway, so it works. Aval hacha mi yada demachil. In our case, when I say I'm selling you this item, but you have to promise that you won't ever claim ona'ah, the guy is willing to admit to say yes because he doesn't, or he, sorry, he can't actually be mochel because he doesn't even know that there is ona'ah. When you know something is existing, like the share in the ksut, and you're saying I'm mochel anyway, so you're mocheling on something vada, then we count it as mechila. But I'm sorry, I'm getting confused. No, he doesn't think it counts because you can't. This reading is that you can't be matnel mashakatu b'torah if it's a vadai. But if you don't really know if it exists or not, then you can make this tanai because you don't really know if your tanai is going against mashakatu b'torah. You don't actually know if there's ona in this case or not, and therefore, in that case, it would work. No, I'm doing the flip. One second. Rav says Yesh alav ona'ah, and he's trying to explain Rabbi Yehuda, who says that. One second. Right. It's the opposite. Okay. Let's try it again. Rabbi Yehuda says that in Kiddushin, you can cancel Sher Ksud and ona'ah. And that's because you know Bivadai, and yet you're Mochel anyway. But when you don't know Bivadai, you can't really be Mochel. It's kind of like the Asmachta, Asmachta Lokanya. You don't even know if there's ona'ah. So this is like you sign a waiver. Right? Yeah, you go into an anesthesiologist, you know, you have to sign, I'm willing to give up, I won't sue you if something happens. You don't really think that anything's going to happen, right? I'm signing. I didn't really mean it. So that's what he's saying. When it's something that's not a vada, you're willing to sign it because you wanted the deal to go through. So you signed it, but you didn't really mean that if the guy was really overcharging, you weren't going to do that. And Shmuel Amar, this is why I got confused because the opposite logic, I'm going to use it the opposite way. Ana de Amri afilu le Rabbi Meir. Okay, I think that Rabbi Meir, I agree with Rabbi Meir in the Kiddushin case that the Tanai is batel. But here, I think it would be Kayam. Why? Because Akalo kam Rabbi Meir hatam, ela de vadai ka'akar. When it comes to Matanel Mashakatu b'Torah, right? That's only when you're vadai oker Mashakatu b'Torah. That's what I started saying the first time. Aval hacha mi yemer de ka'akar midi. Who's to say I'm even okir? When I say, I don't know necessarily I'm really going to be okir something shekatu b'torah. And therefore, you know, he would agree with me in my case.
It takes away the whole basic principle that we began with, that he knows it's ona'ah. He's saying to him, it's ona'ah.
So that's the thing. It means that what he's really doing is he's signing a waiver. He's saying,
if it is,
what he's really, right, he's saying, if it is on I won't, you know, I'm selling this to you under the condition that you don't come later and try to sue me. That's what he's basically saying.
We still haven't attacked the issue of
So wait. Yafeh. So hold on. So I'm Ravana, Lididima Farshale Mine Demar Shmuel. I explained Shmuel like this. Ha'omer lecha ve'ro manat she'ein lecha alai ona'ah. Now he's going to say it's a matter of how you word it. If you say, Amanat she'ein lecha alai ona'ah, that you won't make any claims of ona'ah against me, then ein lo ona'ah. But if he says, Amanat she'ein bo ona'ah, but if you say, I'll buy this on the condition that this item doesn't have ona'ah, then yesh bo ona'ah. Then we're going to say, there is dinei ona'ah. Because that's matnel mashakatu b'torah. If you say, I won't make a claim against you, I won't sue you, so you can say I won't sue you. You can be mochel on that. But you can't be mochel on, you can't say against what it says in the Torah that this doesn't have ona'ah, and this might have, you know, if it has ona'ah, then it can't, then it doesn't work. Okay? Hanosev notem ba'amana, v'ha'omer l'chavero, manat she'en l'cha alai ona'ah, ein lo alav ona'ah. Okay, if you say, nosev notem ba'amana, right, Rashi says, mechur b'masha tuchal v'ten li hamo'ot l'zman ploni, you ask someone to sell something for you on trust. Okay, and you're saying, give me the ma'ot down the road, and I trust you. Okay, and then you pay him to do that. Or, and this is the important part for us, ha'omer l'chavero manat she'en l'cha alai ona'a, ein lo ona'a. Okay, so here's a braita that goes against Rav, because here it says, if you don't have ona'a, he doesn't have ona'a. So l'rav da'amre, ana da'amre, afilu l'rabbi Yehuda hamane. If Rav claims that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda would agree with me, in other words, I could take Rabbi Yehuda and say that in my case he would agree with me, so he's got no Tana who holds like him. So how could he possibly explain this? So Amar Abaye, mechuvar ta Rav Amar ke Rabbi Meir, ushmol da'amar ke Rabbi Yehuda. Abaye says, so it must be that we were wrong, that this does really match up. Rav matches Rabbi Meir, Shmuel matches Rabbi Yehuda. We say, Rav will say that bright is Rabbi Yehuda. I hold like Rabbi Meir. Very simple. Here comes Abaye, and this gets to what you were saying, Aviva. Amar Abaye, mechuvar ta Rav Amar ke Rabbi Meir, ushmol amar ke Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Amar, oh, sorry, I just read that again. Rav Amar lo kasha, kam b'stam, kam b'mefarish. Okay? B'stam is if he just sells it, right? But b'mefarish, if he says, this has ona'a, and I'm willing to buy it anyway, then even Rav will agree. Okay? And that's exactly what you were saying. Okay? D'tanya, and here we have a braita that supports it. B'medvar, m'rim b'stam, aval b'mefarish, מוכר שאמר ללוקח, חפץ זה שאני מוכר לך במאתיים, יודע אני בו שאינו שווה אלא מנה. על מנת שאין לך עליי הונאה, אין לו עליו הונאה. Okay, so if you say it explicitly, this item, okay, I'm either overcharging or I'm undercharging you, and you say, I don't care, or, you know, each side agrees, then even Rav will agree that it's okay. וכן לוקח, here's the flip, וכן לוקח שאמר למוכר, חפץ זה שאני לוקח ממך במנה. Right, he's saying, I'm buying this for money, yodea ani sheshave matayim. Right, in other words, the lokach says to the mocher, I'm going to buy this item, right, b'mane, and I know it's worth matayim, but I'm buying it for half the price. Al menat she'en l'cha alai ona, but you have to commit to me that you're not going to claim that you were underpaid. Ein lo alav ona. Okay? That's what Rav, so in the end, even Rav will agree in that case. But if you exactly stipulate, and their machloket is basically in a case where you basically sign a waiver not really knowing, is there ona, is there not ona, that's when they have a machloket. But if it's very clear that there's that you're saying, I know there's ona and I'm willing anyway, then you're really mevater on the ona.